That was in, at Bob Jones, we had what were called societies. They were named by Greek letters. My society was Nu Delta Chi, the three Greek letters. They stand for the Greek words that are translated victory through Christ. And that was our song. But we didn't do that extra stuff at the end. So, you lost me there. All right, so if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and you'll see that I've got all my charts at the top of your notes there. We've moved on from chapter 7, and now in chapter 8. And in Deuteronomy 8, our title is, Don't Forget Your Good God. Don't forget your good God. Now, the theory that in that second chart there that has the breakdown between the commandments, we're following some notes that are provided by a Bible scholar named John Walton. He says that Deuteronomy is organized, or at least this section of Deuteronomy is organized around the Ten Commandments. And so far, we are working on Commandment 1, chapters 6 through 11, are sort of an exposition of ideas around the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Chapter 7 dealt with the pagan nations. They were to maintain their separation from them. They were to force them out of the land, to destroy them. They were not to intermix with them because God wanted them to worship him alone. Now in chapter 8, we are looking at a different topic, but a similar message. God wants them to worship him and to keep his commandments. So we have divisions. I've got the sort of an outline of chapter 8 there at the next section there in the notes. And you'll notice if you have a paragraph Bible, you probably have a paragraph going all the way to verse 10 and then another one starting in verse 11 all the way to verse 20. That's the way it's marked out, at least in one of my other Bibles. This Bible, it's interesting how Bibles, different ones, is the same version that I've used to study, but this one has no paragraph markers. It's all verse by verse, and which is what I prefer. I prefer to have a verse by verse Bible. But they don't add a little paragraph marker, so I have to get that elsewhere. But anyway, that's where the paragraph markers are. So the first section, well, there's two words really that are we're going to see emphasized in this chapter and in the next chapter. The first word is remember. The second word is do not forget, which is basically the same thing, but it puts it into the negative. So remember and do not forget. So the first section, verses 1 through 10, remember the Lord your God. And I have two sections there, remember what God did and remember what God is going to do, which sounds a little funny, doesn't it? Okay, remember what God did, now remember what God is going to do. You say, wait a minute, I'm not there yet. Well, we'll talk about that in just a minute. And then the second section, do not forget the Lord your God. So, forgetting fails to remember God. That's the first several verses, and then right at the end there's a warning. Forgetting earns the wrath of God. So that's what we're looking at there at the end. Now, those points, remember what God is going to do. Well, he is telling them, I'm going to do this for you, and when that happens, remember. That's basically what he's saying. So that's the idea. Now, Constable says here as he's introducing this chapter, the Israelites were not only in danger of compromising with the Canaanites, but they were also in danger of becoming too self-reliant when they entered the land. So that's what this chapter is about. Note the two double themes of remembering and forgetting and the wilderness and the promised land in this chapter. All right, so we are going to go through here. I think I probably should read verses 1 through 10 so that you sort of have the gist of it in your mind as we start going through and answering these questions. So beginning with verse 1, all the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Now that one verse, of course, sounds familiar, doesn't it? Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you, just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. All right, so that's the first section. And so before we read any more, let's just work our way through the questions I have there. Now, verse 1 is kind of a preface. It's sort of a header statement in a way. What is the focus of this general statement? So what is God telling them to do? It's a very familiar theme, but what is he telling them to do in verse 1? Keep his commandments. All right. So keep the commandments of God. Now, there's a reason that they're supposed to do that. What's the reason? Yes. Did you say? Okay. So yes. Okay. Yes. They may live and conquer their enemies. All right. Okay. But so the focus here, let's see, I think, okay. So, the word that I want you to focus on there, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. So you might be, you see, the keeping God's commandments is related to this, for this purpose, to live in the land, to occupy it, to keep it, to prosper in it. All right, so look at the next question. What kind of life follows keeping the commandments? Is it eternal or material? Material. And I emphasize that. I've talked about this before, but a lot of times people get the wrong impression about the Mosaic law. The law says do this and live. But when God says do this and live, he means to live in the land. And he's not talking about eternal life. You don't get salvation and eternal life by doing deeds. You get that by faith in God, like Abraham. You see, so keeping the Mosaic law is how they were to stay in the land, how they would live in the land and prosper in the land. That was what God is saying, and that's a very important distinction. So whenever it crops up, I want to point it out. All right, so what three things are the people told to remember in verses 2 through 4? What three things are they supposed to remember in verses 2 through 4? All right, how they were led and how they were humbled and how they were tested, okay? Well, those are that's true. That's sort of what I was looking for. Well, the first one is, all right, the first one is the leadership. Yes, Tola.
That they should remember how God led them out of the land of Egypt.
Okay, that's the first one, yes. Okay, but there's a second thing. What else was they to remember?
How long
he led them? No, 2 through 4, not just verse 2.
Oh, I see. You want us to go beyond chapter
1? I want you to read 3 verses and answer that whole question.
They should also remember to live by the word of God.
Yes, but that's not what is. There's not the specific thing. What is it? Look at verse. Okay, should I point it to you? Verse. There you go. Cullen gets it. Okay, the manna. Remember the manna. Okay. All right. There's one more thing. One more thing. What? Their clothes didn't wear out. All right. Now, I know that it might have been kind of boring to have the same suit of clothes for 40 years. Can you imagine? Ladies, you would have a really hard time, I'm sure. Okay? All right? Now, and it always strikes me as funny. You think about that. You know, what, you know, talk about your style, you know, style. Okay? We have, you know how quickly style, shoes go out of style, right? You know, you're wearing the same sandals for 40 years. Like, how are you going to be stylish? It's just not happening. It's not happening. I don't know what happens with the kids. They might probably get a new suit of clothes as they get bigger, but that's the only change. That's right. All right, that's right. God can do whatever he wants. But anyway, God says, remember these three things. I led you, I gave you food, and I preserved your clothes. And you didn't need, you know, in other words, he gave them everything, right? He gave them everything they needed. Right? Now, they, you know, like manna was boring too after a while. They think, man, this is manna. You know, how many different ways can you fix manna? But that's about their, that was what they had. Now, verse 5, what lesson are they to draw from this memory that God, of what they remembered? What was God doing to them? Teaching them discipline. All right, Addie?
Love. But despite the discipline, he still loves them.
Okay. That he, all right. As a father, right? Okay. And he's training them. And he's, it's a, you know, it's a school for them in a sense. The wilderness is a school. So remember that. All right, Maureen?
So would you say, like, when in verse 2 where we were, it does say that they were tested and humbled.
Yes, it was.
That's part of the school.
That's part of the school. Okay. I mean, all of those things they went through, and we're generalizing. So, you know, the leadership through all those testings, that's the one thing. You've got to remember God's leadership through all those testings. You also have to remember God's provision, the manna and the clothing. All right, Tola.
Does it mean for every promise of God, there's a condition attached to it?
No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean in here, there are some things here where he is putting some conditions on them. For the children of Israel, that's true. And so, you know, we don't extend the application to everything because some things God gives to us unconditionally. Okay. Other things He does put conditions on. All right, Rob.
Well, like Cal originally mentioned, like God humbled them so by this manna, it was a type of, it wasn't just provision, but he was humbling them that that's all they were getting.
Yeah, that's a test too, isn't it?
Yes.
And then they, and of course they failed that and they started complaining and so, all right, you want meat? Here's all the meat you can eat. And then they got sick, right? Okay, sent them all the quails. So, anyway, so all of that is God's, and now the thing is, let me put it this way. What God is saying is, all of those things happen to you to prepare you to enter the promised land. Now, the children of Israel, a lot of them didn't get the message. Okay? Or, you know, there were certain ones that did who won the battles and won the victories and so forth, but there were people, even in all of that, who didn't get the message. That is sort of a warning to me. You know, we go through experiences. The Lord has taught us to have faith in Him and so forth. But, you know, there is a possibility that we will miss what God is saying. And so we really want to pay attention to God's Word and think about it. Make it the meditation of our heart so that our ears are attentive to what God is saying. That's the most important thing. It's not what men say. It's not what I think. But it's what God says that we need to learn from and follow from. All right, so then, what conclusion should they take or make from this lesson in verse 6? Okay, what should... Yes,
Augustine. You obey His commandments and fear Him.
That's right, obey His commandments and fear Him. So, all of those things, that's where it's leading. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, we move on. There's a break here, and he's going to talk about what's about to happen. For the Lord is bringing you into a good land. Verse 7. So what good things does God announce He will do for the people in the days to come? Now notice again, I've got three verses here. All right, Cullen.
Sorry, I actually have a question.
Oh, you have a question for earlier. From an online, is that from your mother?
Yes.
Okay, so what's her question?
She was asking how leading, feeding, and clothing is discipline. I think it's further back when we were talking.
Okay, so how is leading, feeding, and clothing discipline? Well, it's discipline because it's, because, well, partly the fact that it's the same thing, like Rob was pointing out, every day. That's a, you know, and the, and it's also, it's a discipline in that, that God is teaching them to depend on Him. Okay, so, you know, God provided for their food in the wilderness all those years. Depend on Him. Now they're going to go into a land where they're going to have food. You still have to depend on Him. All right, Rob.
Yeah, in the wilderness, they didn't move camp until God told them to move.
That's right.
Camp.
That's right.
So they were dependent on what He said, and they
that's right.
follow that.
That's right. So Rob points out that they didn't move camp until God told them to move camp. Again, training them. All right. So question there, verses 7 to 9. What good things does God announce He will do for the people in the days to come? All right, Carrie.
Change the menu.
Change the menu. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, there's that. Okay. So that's one of them. What else is He doing for them? Faith.
Bringing them into a good land.
Into a good land. Which, what's the key feature of this good land?
It's got lots of stuff.
Well, no. The first thing He says.
Water.
Mm-hmm. You're going through that wilderness. Remember, they had to hit. Moses had to strike the rock to get water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now there were places where they stopped at oases and there were water, places of water in the wilderness. But many times they were without water. God provided. But He's saying, I'm going to bring you into a land that's got lots of water, it's got lots of food. What is the third thing?
Well, there will be no want.
No want, but there's one more thing that's...
Wealth
represented by what?
Iron and copper.
Iron and copper, all right. So resources. Natural resources. So, and in fact, one of the commentators pointed out that he mentioned some Bible scholar who did some research and studying and found traces of copper in certain parts of the hills of Judea to show that in fact there was copper there, as God's word said. And the, you know, for a civilization. This is, what do they call it? I'm not sure when the Iron Age begins, but iron and copper are vital elements for the development of civilization. And they were not just going to have a fruitful land, but they were going to have resources with which to build their economy and so forth. So God is providing for everything. All right, go ahead.
Well, can we also say that, it's a way God is now letting them know that, yes, while you were in the wilderness, you were eating only manna, but now you have varieties of...
That's right, that's right. He's saying, look, it's you're about to get the buffet, the smorgasbord, you know, everything, okay? It's all going to be there. All right, so, the other thing in conquering the land is there are going to be all kinds of new garments I think what was it that we're going ahead, but in Judges, Joshua, what was it that Achan kept for himself out of Jericho?
Changes of clothing.
That was so attractive to him. Okay, and it was like, I've got to have that. Even though God had said no for Jericho. Okay, destroy it all. Can you imagine? Now you've been 40 years, same suit of clothes. And your wife, no, you know, same fashions. I like to dress her up a little bit. You know? All right? And that there you see it. You're taking that city, you're going, and you see in this house, you find this beautiful garment, and you, oh, I can't burn this. You can see the temptation. Like from our standpoint, you think, you know, I mean, you can just go down to Walmart or wherever, you know, or maybe shop in a higher class facility than that. That's my usual spot. But the thing is that it was a great temptation for him, and of course he wasn't able to stand up against it. But all right, so let's see. Now, what should they do, or what should they remember when they get into that land? In verse 10.
Serve their God.
Yes, bless and serve their God. All right, Addie, were you going to add something?
Okay, God understands the Adamic nature of man, that when the soul is satisfied, there is that tendency to forget God.
That's right.
Forget about God. So he's asking them to remember, even in plenty, they should remember God.
That's exactly right. So in the plenty, they need to remember God. Because it's easy, you know, when things are very hard, when you are, you know, you don't have enough food in the cupboards, you don't know if you have enough money to pay all your bills, and the electricity will be cut off, and you've got sickness in the house, and you remember to pray when you're in trouble. But when you've got everything, it's like, oh yeah, pray, yeah. I forgot about that, you know. Get through the end of my day, and I've forgotten, right? And that is exactly the way we are. It's like there's a parable I learned. It was in all our school readers. It seemed to be every year. It was about the monkeys in the jungle, I guess, presumably in Africa. I don't know where it was, but there's these monkeys, and it rains every night. And the monkeys sit and chatter, and they're cold, and they say, we need to build a house to keep off the rain. In the daytime, the sunshine would come out, and the monkeys would play in the trees, and everything would be fine. And at the end of the day, we forgot to build a house. And I don't know, every year it seemed to be in our reader, every year in elementary school. Do you remember that one, Maureen?
I do not remember.
Oh, it's so vivid to me. It must have made a big impression. Anyway, these monkeys, every night it's raining. Oh, we should build a house tomorrow. And the sun comes out. But that's just like, I mean, the monkeys obviously are a symbol for human beings. That's the way we are. When things are tough, we start thinking about doing things. But when things are easy, it's like, tomorrow, we'll get it later, you know. And that's how people treat God. Okay? All right. Where are we? All right. So then the next section, and I probably should read this section very quickly. We're sort of crouching our time as usual. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. So now, the first section was remember. Now we're in the section, do not forget. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you and do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. It shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God, and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. All right. So, verse 11 gives us a warning against forgetfulness. When might forgetfulness arise? That comes from the verses 12 through 13. We've already touched on this. Faith? When everything's going good, that's exactly right. Okay, so what is forgetfulness? Okay, now you have to put your thinking caps on here. What is forgetfulness? How is it manifested? How do people show that they've forgotten God? By not obeying his commandments. That's right, not keeping his commandments. All right, and so then verses 14 to 17, what is the consequences of forgetfulness? Yes, Eddie. Well, destruction, you're getting a little ahead. That's not quite it. The first consequence.
Backsliding.
Backsliding, and specifically, what are they thinking about how they got all these good things?
Well, they did it themselves.
They did it themselves, okay? What word do we use to describe this kind of sin, this forgetfulness?
Pride.
I heard several of you say that. All right. In verse 18, God again demands that they remember who gave them their wealth once they are in the land. What is the consequence of remembrance in this verse? Now, this one I think is quite interesting. So look closely at verse 18. If they remember, what is the consequence?
They God will confirm his covenant.
God will confirm his covenant. All right, so which covenant are we talking about here? Just a second. I guess that's a little bit further. Hang on for a second. Let's look at verse 19 and 20. What will happen to Israel if they forget that God gave them all these good things? They'll be destroyed, just like the Canaanites were. All right, so now the question. What covenant did God promise to renew? The Abrahamic covenant or the Mosaic covenant? The Mosaic covenant. All right, so why is that? What's the difference between the Mosaic and the Abrahamic covenants?
The Abrahamic covenant is unconditional.
Right. The Abrahamic covenant is unconditional. The Mosaic covenant is conditional. Keep my commandments and live. Abrahamic covenant, God says to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation. I will give you this land. I will bless the whole world through you. Okay? That's unconditional. That's going to happen. Really matter. It doesn't matter what anybody does. That promise will be kept. But when it comes to the Mosaic covenant, which says, keep my commandments and live in this land, then you have to keep his commandments. That's the condition. That's the condition for this life kind of existence. All right, so another question here. What implications does this have for the current state of Israel? Rob?
I've been anxious for this one. If they will yet turn to the living God in Christ, he will bless them in the land as salvation through Christ.
Okay, well, you're getting there. You're getting there. Now, what is... Okay. Abraham's promise was that God would give the land to his descendants. Now, Moses' promise was, keep the commandments and you will live in the land. Now, this current generation of Israel, they're in the land. Now, most of them are not... how would you put it? Well, I don't know what the percentages are. But a large number of them are not even observant Jews. Most of them aren't Christians. And most of them aren't, a lot of them aren't even observant Jews. In other words, they're not following the ways of Judaism. So what kind of guarantee do they have that they would stay in the land at this point?
None.
Really. None. Okay? So, as I've often said, God could take them out of the land again. But the prophecies say that there will come a time when the nation will look on him whom they have pierced, and they will turn to him and mourn for him as for an only son, and then he will reign, the Bible says, he will reign for 1,000 years on the earth. And the nation of Israel will be reconstituted as the center of the world in those days. And they will have the land because they will be keeping the commandments. So it's a really interesting little, that little phrase in that verse really stirred me up as I was thinking about this. All right. Now, what implications does this have for Christians as we try to pass our faith on to succeeding generations? Now, by asking that question, I'm not saying that we are Israel. I'm not saying that we are like Israel. I'm not saying that God has given us a promise about any specific land. That's not what I'm saying. But he is saying something. When he says here that they have to renew the covenant with each succeeding generation, has to keep the commandments to renew that covenant. What implication does that give us for our own lives, our own families? All right, Tola?
I have a question.
Okay, well, go ahead. Okay, for the Christians, the new covenant, we are brought into the new covenant, okay, which is mentioned in Jeremiah. We are not part of the Abrahamic covenant. We are part of the new covenant, which is mentioned in Jeremiah, and that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, but on the, but as far as our implications for us, as in terms of renewing the covenant, passing on the faith to succeeding generations, what are the implications?
Well, you have to work at it. Or you have, is that what you're saying? Like, you have to teach.
You have to teach each succeeding generation, but then what? What does each succeeding generation themselves have to do?
Well,
They have to believe, right? There's no guarantee that the next generation is going to believe God. And so we want to live the kind of life that we should live before them. We want to preach the gospel to them. We want to help them to grow and do everything we can to pass it on. There's no guarantees. No guarantees, but the idea here is, I think, that there is constantly a need to renew the covenant. In Israel, there is a constant need to renew the covenant with each generation. The same thing is true of our situation as Christians. We constantly have to be working to teach our children to love God, to give their hearts to Him, to fully obey Him in everything, and to put Him first. All right, so it's a real challenge, and we want to challenge our young people. We're so thankful that we have a crowd of young people in our church these days. What a blessing it is. You know, when we have our lunchtime, we have all those little kids in the church, and even, sort of bigger kids. They're not quite as rambunctious, maybe, as the little ones. But those voices and all of that, what a blessing it is to have them. But those kids, my heart's desire is that they would know the Lord, that they would embrace the things they're being taught in Sunday school, the things that they're being taught from the pulpit, that they would rise up and become a new generation of believers to further this church and other churches where they might be someday. All right, so the last question that we have on our sheet is this. Does God's promise of life in the land mean Christians have a guarantee of a life free of fear wherever they might live? Okay, so God promised to Israel, you'll live in this land if you keep my commandments. Can we make an application and say, well, if I keep God's commandments, I'm going to have a life free of fear and free of trouble? Maureen?
Well, no, because Jesus told us that we would be persecuted for His name.
That's right. Jesus told us we'd be persecuted for His name, and we would be living a life of challenge and stress by following Him. All right.
Jesus also said that in this life we will have trouble, but be of good cheer.
That's right. Our faith is to be in Christ. He says, in this life you'll have trouble. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So in spite of the problems, okay, we trust God. In the end, He will work all things out. You know, I have no wish to go into any kind of suffering that might involve my dying. I have no wish for that. I have no wish for it. But I have faith that if God takes me through that valley, that on the other side, He will welcome me. And so that's what we want to live out as Christians. The promise that about living in the land, that promise is for Israel. It's not for us, but there is a lesson in it of simply trusting in God to work things out for us in the end, I believe. All right, so I have a little poem at the end. It says, and it's an anonymous poem. It comes out of Tom Constable's notes. Always remember to forget the troubles that passed your way, but never forget to remember the blessings that come each day. So I thought that was kind of simple but appropriate to end this lesson with. Okay, Rob?
There's a lot that could be said about it because you know better than anyone. We used to pray on Wednesday nights that God would send us more families and more
yes.
children.
Yes.
There was a real absence of children at one time in
yeah.
the church. Now
yeah.
it's a real answered prayer.
That's a good point, and thank you for bringing that up. We had sometimes on our prayer list, God send us two new families.
Thank
for a couple of years we had that. Well, the Lord, this last couple of years has brought us about four or five new families. And you know, for those of you who are new to us, what a blessing you are, because you have come to replace people that we lost over the last couple of years, some of our older saints. We did not lose, other than Daryl's wife, she was the only one who died because of COVID. The rest of them just died of old age. And yet our attendance never dropped. So praise the Lord. The Lord answered those prayers. And we are blessed with all these kids. We do want them to come to know the Lord. Some of them do, I think. But we want all of them to come to know the Lord. So let's be in prayer for those kids and for the ongoing work that we're trying to do amongst them. All right, let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have our final song. Our Father, we thank You for this time that we've had tonight. We pray for Your blessing on our study of Your Word. May it be something that truly moves us to faith in Christ and to following after Him. Lord, we pray for your continued blessing on our church. We pray for our young people. Pray that they will, first of all, come to know you as Savior. But not only just become Christians, but truly be zealous to live for you, to stand for you in this wicked world, so that they would be a testimony and reach their generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.